The Bea STEM Global Competitiveness Conference presents Study Smart, Study Less, Improving Your Study Skills, a professional development seminar. Featuring Director of the Aerospace Corporation, Sonia Henry, President CEO of the Bones Theory, Michelle Jones, Founder and Executive Director of the Reeds Autism and Sarcoidosis Fund, Matthew Reeds, and Command Sergeant Major William Reinhardt of the U.S. Army. Learning to study effectively is a skill that benefits everyone, even the smartest in the class. When polled, most college students would agree that when they started college, they did not know how to properly study. In this seminar, we will address preparatory study principles, such as setting goals, knowing your learning style, being an active reader, participating in study groups, organizing your notes and study materials, and writing drafts of papers that can help all students improve their study skills and perform better. Without further ado, the Bea STEM Global Competitiveness Conference presents Study Smart, Study Less, Improving Your Study Skills, featuring Sonia Henry, Michelle Jones, Matthew Reeds, and Command Sergeant Major William Reinhardt.
Good afternoon, everyone. In the spirit of our panel today, we're going to start on time at 1:45. Time management, as we're learning today from our esteemed panel, is very crucial in the college world and in the professional world. But I'd like to welcome you today to Study Smart, Study Less, Improving Your Study Skills, today, February 9th at 1:45 p.m. My name is Matthew Reeds. I am a Morgan State University alumni, class of 2017. I graduated, 2017. Started my career off at Goldman Sachs. Currently at Legg Mason Asset Management now in community engagement. And I'm also the founder and executive director of my own nonprofit organization, the Reeds Autism and Sarcoidosis Fund. Very excited to be here today. I'm more excited for our esteemed panel to talk more about study skills, about how we improve our study skills, even in the workplace, right? You know, it's continuing your education, continuing to learn and to grow, and studying doesn't really stop when you leave college, unfortunately. you study in a different way, and you know, our panel will talk more about that. But I'm very excited to be here today, very excited for our panel. And so before we get started, everyone is at front, so I'd like to thank you all for sitting closer to the front. Again, I want to remind you that when you enter and leave the session, to scan your badge, and that those who are trying to receive credit to register at the Morgan State University table near the registration in order to receive continuing education units or CEU credit and professional development hours credits. So if that's being tracked or if that is important to you, please make sure that you stop by that table. And on the tables, there should be surveys that are at the at all of your tables. If you would mind and fill out the surveys, we continue to improve our sessions. And again, we will be a portion of the panel today will be asking questions, so the microphone is here. We just ask that you ask one question and, you know, facilitate whoever you are directly asking the question to ask one person the question, or if you're asking the entire panel a question, to direct it to the entire panel. But would prefer if you would direct questions to specific individuals on the panel. And after this, I'm sure some members of our panel will be happy to answer your questions, whether it's in person, via email, et cetera. So I would love to have that conversation. And remember to stay in touch with Bea. There's an app that's downloaded, which is really helpful. That's kind of how I found out the room for today. So feel free to download the app. Follow on Twitter at Bea Technology, and also on Facebook, Bea STEM. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce some members of our, all of the members of our panel, but they will go further into their own introductions. But I'd like to introduce Sonia Henry, who's a director at Aerospace. So let's give her a round of applause. Michelle Jones, who's Vice President, Training and Leadership Vice President of Training and Leadership at Civility Management Solutions. And William Reinhardt is a Command Sergeant Major at U.S. Army South. And I'll transition over here so that everyone can see me, or I might stand up here because I think this is kind of blocking for this view, but I'll sit down eventually. But want to just kick off with everyone just to kind of just introduce themselves, a little bit about their background, and you know, maybe a fun fact of something that people wouldn't normally know. So we'll just kind of go down the line.
Good afternoon. My name is Sonya Henry again, and I am the director at the Aerospace Corporation. My department is Acquisition Analysis and Information Department. I've been at Aerospace 28 and a half years. I know I don't look like it, but it started when I was just a baby, and have literally grown up at Aerospace. I have a BS in Electrical Engineering from Cal State Long Beach and an MBA from Cal State Dominguez. So I kind of stayed in California. I'm a California girl, born and raised. Not really enjoying the cold weather on this side of the country. Let's see. I'm a mother, a wife. I've got three kids. I've got one in middle school, one in high school, and one in college. And so I feel like I'm at every level and not enrolled in any school, but enjoying the process. Like Matthew said, you're constantly learning. So as my kids learn new ways of doing things, I get to learn that too. I'm really active in my church and in my community and through Aerospace. We do a lot of STEM work. And we have a STEM endowment scholarship that was named after our former president and CEO, Dr. Wanda Austin. The first African-American and female CEO at our company. And in her retirement now, she is the interim president at USC until they find a new president. So she's a great role model, and she has been for most of my career. STEM is very important to me, and so I do a lot in the community. I am at my local park, Volunteer Association president, and my goal this year is to really move things from just sports to academics and character building and STEM as well. So I'm looking forward to being on the panel today with the other esteemed panelists and talking with you about studying smart, studying less.
Good afternoon. Oh, we can do a little bit better than that. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Thank you so very much. My name is Michelle S. Jones, and a little bit about my background. Yes, I'm the vice president at Civility Management Solutions, particularly in the area of training and leadership. I'm also retired Army. I was in the Army for 25 years. I've been retired for approximately 12 years. My last six assignments in the Army, I was the first woman ever to hold those positions. My history is at the new African-American Museum here in Washington, D.C., as well as the National Archives and the Smithsonian as well. The other thing, and I'll talk a little bit about, first of all, I earned my degree. I do have a degree, bachelor's degree in business administration and management. I actually finished my degree. I graduated from high school at 16, went to Howard University, hated it. You can go ahead and raise your hand, though. It's okay. Went into the Army because I wanted to and finished my degree while I was still on active duty. And just to put it in perspective, I went into my office at 5:30 in the morning. I left at 5:30 in the afternoon from my office, went to class from 6 to 10, Monday through Thursday, and Saturday from 8 to 1. I took 14 college credits, a full load, while I was working full-time in the Army and graduated with a 3.9 GPA. Okay, so I'm sharing that with you. Thank you. I'm sharing that with you, and I'll share some of the techniques that I was able to use. I'm also a mom. I have four beautiful adopted daughters. My oldest daughter is 24. I adopted her at 2. My 17-year-old, I adopted her at 2. My 12-year-old, I adopted her at 6 months. And LTB, little tiny baby, she's 5. I adopted her from the second she was born. So I have my own company as well. It's called the Bones Theory Group. I'll talk about that if we have a chance. But the bottom line is that one of the pieces of that branch is that I work a lot with youth organizations, high schools, colleges, nonprofits that have a focus on helping youth to get to where they want to be. And most important to me, not what you want to be, but who you are as a person. So if you work on that too, then the opportunities will always be there for you. So I welcome the opportunity to interact with you later. So thank you.
Right. Good afternoon. My name is Will Reinhart. I've spent the last three decades in the U.S. military. I studied criminal justice, but really wasn't my my passion, I guess. My first two decades in the military, I was an intelligence guy. I went to the Defense Language Institute. I learned Persian Farsi. I studied the culture and the language of Iran for about 15 years. That culminated in the theater of operations in Iraq as we fought the militias and the insurgents that were supplied and supported by the Iranians. And so I got an opportunity to actually sit down with some really ugly Iranians and talk to them about why they were in Iraq. It was awesome. But then I spent the last decade building the Army's offensive cyber capability. I also was a part of the organization within the Army that built a schoolhouse to train and educate young professionals like yourselves, whether you were a high school graduate or a college graduate, or you made it about halfway through college and decided that was enough, and you said, I'm going to go do something else, so you joined the Army, which is great. And anybody that wants to join the Army after you talk to me later, I will definitely point you in the right direction. But I'll tell you, the Army's capability within cyber is unmatched around the world. And it's because of, you know, young, talented professionals like yourselves that were dedicated, had a passion for it, young technologists. And I'll tell you, I spent about 7.5 years shoulder to shoulder figuring out how we were going to tackle this problem set. But the studying, you know, it's a little easier in the Army. You know, because we can control your environment. We can take your phones, your tablets, mm-hmm. We can take all that away from you, or we can give it to you if it, you know, is useful. So there was a lot of different techniques that we have in the military, not to make you shy away from it, because some of the smartest people I know are in the U.S. Army, or had been. So I'm telling you, I'm honored to be here today. I'm honored to sit up here amongst these, Goldman Sachs, really?
Yeah. Wow. I left.
I mean, this guy, he's going somewhere. Holy smokes. But hey, it's an honor and an opportunity to speak to each and every one of you, and I look forward to the discussion today.
Let's give another round of applause for our And I'm only standing up here so that everyone can see me. I know, like, right here is kind of can't really see me. But I'll kind of, like, walk around and walk back and forth because, you know, kind of do that anyway. But, you know, we'll just jump right in. And the first question, and again, panel, you know, don't feel like you have to answer every question if you feel someone covered what you want to cover.
Oh, no, Matt, we're going to answer every single
Well, I'm saying everyone doesn't have to answer every single question. but how do you manage your time now in your professional life, and how did you manage your time in college? And I'll kind of kick off my answer to that. In college, literally my first answer would always be no, right? If someone asked me to do something, or if someone asked me to speak here or whatever, my literally first answer would always be no in my mind. I would be like, okay, like, check my calendar. You know what I mean? So it's really important to, you know, this is very important skill to, I would say no first, and then, you know, see, is this in my priority window, right? Like, what are your top priorities? Obviously, you're trying to get your education, you know, all these clubs that you're trying to join, it's a lot. And so I won't talk a lot about that. You know, I'll let the panel answer that. And then how do I manage my time now? I love Google Calendar. Does anyone like Google Calendar? Yeah, Google Calendar is life for me. So literally everything is in my Google Calendar. If it's not in there, it doesn't exist. So, but yeah, I would like to hear from the panel to those answers to that question.
Yes, I'll start.
Yeah.
I still struggle a little bit with managing time because it's kind of a balancing act with work, management, a family, and extracurricular activities. There's a lot going on. When I was in school, I think it was a lot easier because I just had to focus on school. And I knew what the task was, I knew which classes I had, I knew which days I had them, so I would work homework on either the same day or the day in between the class, so I'd make sure that everything got done. Now, I think one of the things I can attest to what Matthew said about saying no, I have an issue with that. I'm in recovery. I'm working on that. And so I'm learning that there's only so much that you can do in a day and at a time. So one of the things that I've really tried to do, it's a sales tool. They call it the power of three. So I've just kind of leveraged it for time management. And I identify at the beginning of the day, what are the top three things that I need to do today? And then I start focusing on those three things that I need to do today. As a manager, you're always interrupted. There's a lot of distractions. As a student, some of those you can control. Some of the things, your people that you deal with, students that you want to go hang out and do stuff when you know you have to study. Sometimes you do have to tell them no because the priority is getting the work done, getting the grades now, because it will make it better for you in the future. So the power of three, I don't get on myself if I don't get all three things done in a day, but if I'm making progress towards those, then the next day, then I look at, well, did I accomplish my priority list of those three things? If I did, then I add one more. So if I've completed two, then I add two more to the list. So that's one of the ways that I try and manage my time now, is saying no a little bit more. And also kind of prioritizing what's most important for me to get done within a day. And I will say one more thing, make sure that you prioritize taking care of yourself as part of that process too. Because a lot of times we get so caught up in work and activities and doing other things that we forget to take care of ourselves. So make sure you take care of yourself, mind, body, and soul. That's very important.
Are you sure?
I'm so sure.
Okay. So, I'll just tell you a little story about time management. Time management, when Will graduated high school and started college, I was terrible at it. Everything else except the classroom was more important and more fun. So what did I prioritize? Fun, not school. And at 19, I joined the Army. All right, so I went to school and college same time because it was not something I was able to do on my own as a high school graduate, because I couldn't manage my time. You guys are way ahead of me already, because like Sonia said, all you got to focus on is school, right? Maybe a part-time job, a little spend of money, but school. Time management is all about prioritization. What's most important, stacking it up. And for me, I do that every day. And I can't echo enough where Sonia said, you know, the three parts, you know, it's got to be all the way down to your person. And so for me, it's all about prioritization. What's most important down to the least important, and then don't beat yourself up if you don't get to everything you wanted to get to. You just put that back on your list tomorrow morning.
I'm good.
You're good? All right. Hey, yeah, that was really powerful. What really stuck with me was the power of three. Definitely wrote that down for myself. And definitely take care of yourself. I definitely had to learn that the hard way. And so once a week, you know, literally I take a day where I focus on myself, whether it's an evening or whatever it is, you know, just do something that I like to do, hang out with who I want to hang out with, and not beat myself out about something that I was trying to get done that day and I didn't get done. So yeah, I really appreciate that for myself as well. And I will also add as well, in terms of time management, a lot of people ask about like work-life balance. And I honestly don't believe in that. I believe in a work-life blend. And I believe in a work-life blend because sometimes work is going to be more demanding and sometimes your personal life is going to be more demanding. So it's kind of like a blend of trying to understand like what's most important at that time. you know, sometimes in my personal life, sometimes my nonprofit takes over my work. And so that kind of oversees my work at that time. And sometimes, you know, work is a busy season, like grant season. This is like the beginning of the year for community engagement. We give out a lot of grants. So this is like a, you know, a busy time for us. So that kind of takes over. So it was kind of like a balance to like what's most important to you. And the power of three was good because certain things, I feel like I have certain things that are uncompromising. Essentially, these are some things that I'm not willing to negotiate, right? Like my family, like if something is like emergency happens, like I don't care what's going on. You know what I mean? So you just, I feel like have to have things that are, that you aren't willing to compromise on. So I appreciate the panel on answering that question. The next question I had, which is kind of a good fit, is how crucial do you feel that preparation is in the workplace and also when you were at college? And preparation, like I think, is very crucial for anything. So just want your perspective on preparation.
Yeah, I'll answer that one. If you're ready, you don't have to get ready, or something to that effect. It's the key to everything, everything that you do. And the reason that I say that is simply because it's just funny that this is one of the questions, because this is something that I talk about all the time and is near and dear to my heart in terms of being ready always. And what I mean by that is, for example, if you're studying, you know that you're going to have tests. You know that you're only going to have so much time. You mentioned the word that I like to use, non-negotiable. When it came to studying, particularly for me, I'm like, what can I study right now? What are the things that I need to study? Okay. What are the things that I can study in advance? So if something comes up, like an emergency, and you don't have that time, because life does happen. So the more I am upfront about what I need to do and tackle those things when I have that time, the less I'm going to have to do if life happens. You know, you get sick, you're running a fever, you know, and you just cannot concentrate. You're going to lose some time. But the week prior, you had that extra time. You can prepare. When I studied, the non-negotiable for me, other less than emergency, and emergency for me was defined as someone's hurt, someone's dying, and someone cannot do something absolutely that if I'm not there beside them. That's what classified an emergency to me. The fact that my friend is having a meltdown moment, I love you, I will be there for you, okay? However, is this something, in other words, assess the situation, make sure they're not ready to, you know, do harm to themselves.
Right.
But our friends are always going to have crises, okay? Someone in our family may always have a crisis. Your mom may call you and have a crisis, but really she's just missing you or your dad or someone like that. But so going back to Sunday through Thursday, non-negotiable. 2 hours was blocked out. What time worked best for me? Okay, what time worked best for me? But again, remember, my schedule is really tight. I'm in class from 6 to 10. In class from 6 to 10. So when am I going to study? What is going to work best for me? A 2 hour for me, and everybody, you know, cannot work like this, was late at night. It's quiet. It's a review of what I just did to make sure I lock it in. It's fresh in my mind because the next day was another two classes. So what's fresh in my mind right then and there? And I tackled every class as if I had to teach that class. Now, if you think about that, if you study like you're going to have to teach that class, it becomes less of a chore and more of an educational thing and knowledge and research. So you start learning that subject matter quickly. And so you don't have to spend hours going through a book trying to memorize because you're preparing a lesson plan for your next test. My study time was non-negotiable. If I got finished early, great. Fridays, Saturday nights, and Sundays, no study. No study. Because, see, I did all my preparation during that block of time. that was non-negotiable. And I shut down intentionally. So because if I study too much on Friday after I've done it Sunday through, Sunday through Thursday, if I start doing it on Friday, Saturday, then guess what? I never shut my mind down. I never take that break. And everybody needs a break, a brain break. Mm-hmm. So preparing, number one, preparing like you're going to teach it, have your designated non-negotiable study time. And that way you're always prepared for life that could happen that next week. You, like I said, you could get sick. And if you have 104 temperature, trust me, you do not want to study anything. Yeah. Same thing on a job. Mm-hmm. There's certain things that I must do today. But what do I see coming down the pipeline too? I may not get it all done for that next thing, but I've got my little folder. I'm a folder list person. Mm-hmm. And I put things in it a little bit at a time, and I stick it on top because I know it's coming.
Yep.
Fluorescent colors. I love my fluorescent colors. But it sticks out, too, that this is something that I need to continuously build on because it's coming. So I have all my documents together. I don't have to look for them. I've got every, it may not be in exact order I want it to be, but it's right there. So when I have to work on it, I've got a good piece of what I need to gather in order to GSD, get stuff done. Mm-hmm. Okay?
I'll tell you what, that's, so Ms. Jones just hit the nail on the head on a couple of things. So for preparation, you know, for me, it was how I prepare. You know, when I was young, as we grew up, probably when they went to college, back when it was hard. Okay. There was a lot of rote memorization. Yeah. Hey, read this, memorize this. Look at this chart, memorize that. Here's these slides, memorize that, and it regurgitated on a test. I'll tell you what, technology, the field in which you study, sometimes that doesn't work. I mean, it's helpful, charts, graphs. There's some stuff that's helpful. But for me, I found that, you know, the rote memorization, being able to memorize stuff is useful to have that information in that nugget, but you've got to be able to synthesize that with the information you don't have, and you need to be able to formulate, you know, the outputs that you need in order for it to be useful. To memorize a book from front to back, I mean, that's a pretty good parlor trick, and I know some folks that can do it, but at the same time, if you can't utilize that information in a meaningful manner in your profession or your day-to-day life, then you wasted all that time memorizing it. And when Michelle was talking about learn it like you have to teach it, I tell you, that's Sergeant Major coming out right there. Yeah. Because back when I was a young sergeant, you know, in my early 20s, it was, if my leadership wanted me, they no kidding, I need him to understand this concept and these principles and be able to put that in action, then I was in charge of teaching the class to the platoon. Because when you take something and you're learning something, to be able to teach it, I mean, you've got to understand it inside and out, top to bottom, and then be able to explain that in a different format. And so learn something like you're going to teach it, that's powerful. That is a powerful way to really study.
Yeah, that was very powerful. Again, I'm taking notes. but I think, you know, top highlights from that was GSD, right? Like, get stuff done. Mm-hmm. And I definitely took that from a professional sort of view, and I'll kind of talk about that. And what you said was really powerful, because what I try to do at my job today is that I try to predict what my boss wants before they even ask me what they want, right? So you have to know your manager so well that you know what they're going to ask before they even ask you. And so being a step ahead of your own manager. And then in the college standpoint, what I tried to do is, you know, when you first start college, like the first week or so, y'all not really doing nothing. Like, you're getting, like, you know, the syllabus, you know, and some teachers are going full in, But there are, you know, other classes where, you know, you just get in the syllabus and it's very relaxed. And I really use that first 2 to 3 weeks to really go in, meaning like, you know, I'm in chapters ahead of the teacher and I'm really learning and I'm really understanding. And I think a part of that for the preparation, right? I didn't understand how important it was to prepare for class, right? And when I learned that skill, you know, I didn't really learn it until maybe, well, I learned it like fortunately early, but maybe like, you know, freshman year, like towards the end of freshman year, to prepare for class, meaning walking in the class, already have read the chapter that the teacher is lecturing because now you control the class, right? Now you're asking the questions that you don't understand, which really is what class is for, really to ask questions that you don't understand. Why else would you need the professor, really? Because otherwise you might as well just learn, read the, get the book and learn it on your own. So that when I learned that skill, it definitely allowed me to kind of, you know, take what you said in terms of really being able to understand and be able to actually teach a class. I've actually done that in college. Like the professor's like, you want to get up here and teach? I'm like, all right. Like, so I would definitely take that. The next question that we had is, we talked a little bit about preparation, the good side. So what are some examples of a time that you didn't prepare and the negative impacts that it kind of had, whether it was in school or in the professional workplace? And I think I have an example in terms of school. Obviously, like, we all have the example of not preparing for a test and like failing a test, or you know what I mean? Like, so we have all of that. But I think I learned the preparation when I joined my fraternity and I had to moderate a panel, right? Like, I had to do something similar to this. And I didn't understand all of the work that it actually took in order to do that. Like, I just went up there and was like, hey, you know what I mean? So, you know, you have to, you know, have a meeting with the people that you're moderating a panel with, and you have to read up on them, and you have to think of questions. It's not, you know, I just got up there and, you know, kind of looked silly because I didn't have any questions prepared. I didn't know anything about them. I didn't even know, like, really their name. So, you know, that was a value, that was a lesson that I had to learn, is that preparation is key. So I would like to hear from the panel in terms of a moment that they didn't prepare. And I'll just loop in another question so I don't have to get back up again, is what would you kind of do differently in college to prepare differently?
I guess I'll start this one out. Probably the most memorable moment where I feel like I wasn't prepared was in college, undergraduate. It is the first and only class I ever failed. And for someone who, you know, graduated as salutatorian in high school and, you know, didn't know anything but being at the top of your class, to actually fail a class is really devastating. And it wasn't that I didn't study, it was just I didn't study right. I didn't understand it, and because I was an introvert, I still am, but because I was an introvert, because I was really shy, I came from a small all-girls Catholic school and went to a large state school where there's a whole bunch of people. And I did not take advantage of the resources that were there, other people that were in the classes, to be able to ask for help when I needed it. So I thought that I could do it all by myself. I have a problem with perfectionism too. I am a recovering perfectionist. Also,
same.
And so when I went in for the final, I remember that day clearly. I went in for the final. I had studied, but I studied and I really didn't understand. And so I got the test, and it was one of those life days that I was not feeling well. And I'm sitting there, and everything on the page looked like a foreign language. And I did what I could, and finally I got to the point, and I was like, you know what? I'm done. And I just got up and I handed in the final. And I actually failed the test. I don't know what they do now, but back then the F still stayed on your transcript and they just drew a line through it. So forever I'll be reminded of that. But what I learned from that is that learning does not have to be an alone task. We don't know it all. Even in the workplace, we don't know it all. I leverage people who are smarter than me all the time. I leverage people with capabilities that are beyond my capabilities all the time. And that's one of the things I wish I had done when I was in college. The resources were there. The people were there. I just didn't take advantage of it. Office hours, your professor has office hours. Go bug them. They're paid to be in the office during office hours. So go ask questions. If you don't understand, be persistent. And so I think taking from that has helped me in the workplace as well to understand when I don't know, I don't have to try and figure it out by myself. I don't have to think act like I know it all. Some of us, you know, want to front and be like, you know, we got this all together. You don't have to do that. The reality is all of us, including those of us on the panel, are still learning and growing. If you're not growing, you're dying in some way. And so not necessarily physically, but, you know, we should always be growing. It's a process that we go through. So that's kind of my moment that I didn't feel prepared and how I overcame that.
Okay. Oh, that's me. So, I've had failures on so many levels, and the reason I say on so many levels, and I'll talk about my first year in at Howard. Well, actually, the first real semester. When I left high school, like I said, I was 16 years old. Graduated from high school at 16, and I went. I went into my 12th grade year. I already had, I think it was 9 college credits because I took some college credits while I was still in high school. Then that summer, I went to summer school, and again, maintaining that 4.0. Come first semester, I lost my mind. Literally lost my mind. Things that were most important to me, like getting my good grades, having things organized, and everything that was just really easy for me. And I'm gonna be honest, high school was easy for me in terms of academics. So I really studied hard, or I studied well. I won't say hard, I studied well because I was balancing between high school and college. So I was putting forth the effort. That summer, first time on campus, studying well. When everybody came in, I was like, oh, I can do this. I don't really need to prepare. I had a 4.0. That one semester I had, I think it was a 0.8. Yeah, she said, whoa, that's exactly what my father said. And he said, you know, you've had your fun. Everybody's entitled to one semester. You've had yours. But internally, for me, I was so sick and so disappointed with myself. I couldn't blame it on anybody else. No one else. It was my choice to do, because again, studying academics was easy. And so I had always prepared, but what I didn't equate at the time was the fact that one reason that it was easy, because I was always prepared. And so the semester that I didn't, and then, you know, friends competing, this party competing, wanting to sleep late competing, all those things had an impact, and I felt literally this small. So I said, never again, never again. And from that point forward, I prepped, like, even if I felt like I just knew, I didn't want to have that feeling ever again. Yep. First job interview other than the military. I didn't do enough homework on that company. I was so busy trying to state what I had done, you know, so they would hire me, not trying to correlate the fit between this company and what they were doing based on what I had done. And that's great what I had done. But how does it mix in with this company? I didn't prepare well enough, period. So what I'm saying to you is that you will come across times where you do or you don't prepare, and you make, and I like to say missteps versus mistakes. And the misstep is that you made a wrong step, but you can come back, you know, and get back on the right path. You may not prepare all the time, okay, and you're entitled to that as a human being, but make it a part of who you are and strive to prepare 100% all the time. But you're not, because you're human. But strive to prepare all the time. Because the greatest disappointment really is the disappointment that you may have in yourself, because you had the God-given abilities, that's what I say, to do it, but you didn't. So I have, and I probably will continue at some point, but that's what makes me a better person, realizing and recognizing when I didn't to make sure I don't do that again.
You're listening to Study Smart, Study Less, Improving Your Study Skills, a professional development seminar featuring Sonia Henry, Michelle Jones, Matthew Reeds, and Command Sergeant Major William Reinhardt. Brought to you by the Bay of STEM Global Competitiveness Conference, where we stand at the intersection of America's future. Be sure to check out our social media pages on Facebook and Twitter.
That's great, both you ladies. I'll tell you, so I learned a while back that, you know, hey, we all receive data differently. We all absorb it differently. You know, your method of study, your method of whether it's memorizing something, you know, I don't know, it's all, everybody does it differently. But that's not how it's delivered, you know. In universities, schools across America, it's kind of, you know, there's a kind of a camp of how we deliver educational products. And as this stuff is delivered, you know, it's delivered one way. Maybe some teachers are better than others. All right. We all have our favorite teacher. Oh, I'll never forget. But we all have that one. But I'll tell you, it's, we all received it. So you have to understand, you have to learn what that is for you. And once you learn how you best receive information, so that you can learn from it and process, I mean, the easier it'll get down the road. But as far as a mistake that I may have made when it comes to preparation or lack thereof was, you know, the things that I had done. Like I said, I told you early on, you know, I started college right out of high school, went to college for a year, and I just wasn't focused on school at all. And would you say you had a point eight?
Yeah, something like that.
Probably better than mine. So, you know, first semester was pretty good because, you know, mom, dad were like, so proud he's a college student, you know. Second semester, yeah, they didn't, nobody's propping me up after that. Nobody was proud. And that hurt, you know, that. But I said, hey, misstep. Back then it was a mistake. I made a mistake in my life. I basically gave up an opportunity. You know, I wish I hadn't. I look back, but the last three decades in the military have been great for me. Absolutely great. You know, achieved all the things I ever thought I wanted to in the military. But the military is very specific and very detail-oriented when it comes to rehearsals and preparation. And we study by doing it, you know. If the mission set is to go out and conduct a raid to capture somebody, we will spend 2/3 of our time rehearsing that. That's right. And then we will go execute. But we will rehearse it twice as long as we ever will actually doing it. And study is the same difference. It's the same difference. You know, you study more so that you take that 2-hour test, or that 3-hour test, or that 1-hour test, or the quiz you get when you walk in. But you've had all this time to prepare, to study, and you just have to maximize that time. I do like the not the balance, but the blend.
Yeah.
When you said that, I was like, that's it. That's the key to everything.
Yeah.
So, really, yeah, is. Fantastic. But it's, you have to understand how you best receive that information and what works for you, and then tailor the things that are given to you to where you can receive it best. Does that make sense?
And I'll just follow up on that. I know that in terms of like the way that I memorize information, like biology was never really good for me because there's a lot of rote memorization, so I'm not really good with rote memorization. So I literally had like people that were biology majors to kind of like help me. And this goes into like our last question, and then we're going to open it up to everyone. And you can feel free to use this mic to ask questions. But the last question I had, which actually is a question that I just thought of, is around delegation, right? Like, I think that delegation is extremely important, especially, you know, we have leaders here that are a part of, you know, leaders of organizations, sororities, fraternities, et cetera, clubs. So what is your view on delegation and how do you delegate? And I'd be interested in learning more about this because that's honestly something that I struggled with in high school and earlier in college. But like later in college, I'm like, look, like I'm not going to be sitting here like sending out all these emails and like doing, you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, someone else has to step in and delegate. So interested in learning more about delegation. And I'll talk a little bit about how I do it for my nonprofit. For my nonprofit, I try to stay out as much as the details as possible, right? Like I can go in for the details need be. Like I know what's going on. Like I'm very aware of what's going on. But, you know, all the events that we have, like I'm not sitting here trying to plan an event, right? Like I'm focused on a strategic plan for the organization. How do I meet as many people as possible? How do I expand our mission? And so really just having a strong team in place is kind of how I think about it, but interested in hearing from the panels on delegation. And then after they answer, everyone can feel free to line up at the microphone. I believe it's on. If not, I can turn it on. And feel free to ask questions that you have. And then we'll kind of do a fast round in terms of questions to ask them outside of professional life. And then we'll kind of give like last minute closings. And feel free to, again, to network with them afterwards. So, panel.
I'll jump in. I'll say as far as delegation, it's key. You know, there's a point in your time, in your life, and a lot of times it's when you're first beginning, that you're in the, I need to prove myself, I need to get this done, I need to show that these are some of the things that I can do. You have to remove the I. Whenever you're in a position and there are other people that are involved, and it becomes, and you said the word team, okay? Not only that, you said another key element, trust. You have to trust someone enough to delegate. I'm not talking 100%, you know, I'll take a bullet for you, although that's kind of like my measurement. You know, well, I take a bullet for her, she'll take a bullet for me, blah, blah, therefore
really?
I trust her.
But
you
know, but literally
speaking,
but literally.
You know, but again, yeah. You have to, because your growth as a leader, you can't lead if you're always telling somebody what to do. You have to allow them that space. If you have to tell someone to do everything 1 through 10, then you don't need that person. You can give them the general, this is what needs to be done, and allow them to go and do it. Don't tell them how to do it, as long as it's legal, ethical, and moral. You have to spread, because if everyone is contributing, the product is going to be great. I want to do a real quick test.
Yeah.
Okay. I want everybody has a pen, right? I'm going to give you literally 30 seconds. Write down, okay, I'll wait till I see people moving, so they might be trying to get a pen, piece of paper.
That trust that you said is crucial, though.
Trust is crucial.
Yeah, even with my team, the question that I ask is, what can I do for you? That's really the question that I ask what do you need for me?
To let you do your job.
Right. Like, what do you need for me to let you do what you're supposed to be doing?
Right. Okay, so here is a very simple exercise. And it's just to show how, if you bring other people in, how you can work better together, okay? So here it is. And a friend of mine actually does this during a D&I, Diversity and Inclusion Conference, but I use it for a different point. In 15 seconds, you gotta stop. Oh, I do, hold on.
Always prepared, right?
Yes.
Always prepared.
Okay, 15 seconds, right, or 30 seconds, write down as many animals you can think of that begin with the letter G. Go. Stop. Fold your papers. How many people wrote down 10 or more? Animals with the letter G. 8. 7. 6. Raise your hand. Tell me what they are. Okay.
A gator.
That's a good one. She gets credit for that one. Because people will say a gator's not. Oh, yes, it is, especially if you live in Florida. Okay.
Yeah.
It's a gator. All right. Okay. Now. If I tell this gentleman right now, matter of fact, okay. I know, I think you should ask this question. Thank you. Give me a question. Oh, you're part of the staff. No. I have to get the photos. I'm going to stop just in the entrance of time. What I said to this gentleman right here, I want you to go and pick up all the pieces of paper from everyone. What I said to her was, I want you to get all the papers from everyone, right? They're both picking them up, right? I'm not sure why she is, but someone else may have said, can everybody please pass their papers forward so I can gather them up? You know what I'm saying? That's a different way. I told him directly what to do, but I told her, I gave her the license to do it any way in which she wanted to. That's delegation. Powerful. She did it the same way. Give them both a round of applause, okay? Yeah. I did it. Very good, sweetheart. She may have done it because she saw him doing it. The point being, I told him exactly what to do. But I gave her license to do it any way that she wanted to. That's delegation. That's getting the job done without telling someone what to do so I could continue to stand up here on a microphone. Does that make sense? All right.
You want to go? Can you go? You want to go? Anyone can go. Yeah. I'm definitely stealing that exercise, by the way.
So I'll tell you what, delegation. Delegation in the military, we call it mission command. We're going to tell you what the end state, we're going to describe the end state. You know, at 2000 today, 8 p.m. today, I need you to be on this hilltop, looking to the west, and hold that sector of fire. Now, how you get there, what you take with you, the people, the equipment, how you emplace yourself when you get there, that's all on you. All I know is I was told I have to be on top of that hill, looking to the west, and kill anything that moves. That's my mission. How I do it and how I get there, that's my business. Delegation. Mm-hmm. Senior leaders in the Army, delegate that down to the lowest level in the military. And from the general officer to the private, they understand delegation is mission command. And they all understand what the end state's supposed to look like, the commander's intent. My intent is to be here at this time, at this place, doing this. And so no matter what happens along the way, if there's only one private left, he knows what he's got to do because it was delegated to him. Now he's the commander.
Awesome. You're good?
So I will say, how many of you have classes where you have to do team projects?
That's life.
Those are never fun, because you're the only one doing anything in them. Am I right?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. You're like, yes. Come on.
And how does that feel when you're working and then someone else isn't, and then you all get the same grade?
Yeah.
It's upsetting, right?
Kind of like what?
It's kind of like
kind of like work. They still getting a paycheck, so it's even worse.
So one of the things with delegation is everybody has the same goal. If it's in a class, your goal, everyone's goal, hopefully, is to get an A. Everyone on your team might not have the same goal. Everyone on your team might not have the same skill. So one of the things that I do, whether it's in work or whether it's in my community volunteerism. Wherever I am, I try and look at what people's strengths are. And yes, we need to help people grow in other areas, but I look for what people's strengths are. So if someone's strength is speaking, then let them do the part of the work that is focused on the presentation. If you're a better writer, then you gather everyone's information. So leverage each other's strengths rather than everybody trying to bump heads. So in addition to my son, my husband's also in college. And so being an older adult and in college, it's frustrating, especially because he's got to do group projects. And half the time, the people that are in his groups don't listen to him. There's typically like a 20, 25 year age difference. And he's like, well, here's my idea. And they're like, well, you don't know anything. So they completely disregard him. And it's frustrating because not only does he, is he a student, but he actually has 25 years in the industry that he's actually getting his degree in. And so they could actually leverage his experience to be able to get a better grade, to have a better understanding of the real world experience that could be applied to it. So don't discount those around you and what they could do because you think they aren't as good as you or they aren't worthy. Everybody has something to contribute. And when you look at it from that perspective and you engage everyone, it makes it easier to delegate tasks and no one gets upset because they end up having to do all the work. And then you know how it goes. Then you're contacting the professor and saying, well, you know, this person didn't do their part and how does it affect my grade and so forth. Same thing happens in the workforce. A lot of times you're on projects and there are people who do the work and there are other people who don't do the work. Some people just want visibility or be seen. And other people really want to get the work done. Ultimate goal is getting the job done for the customer. And in the area that I'm in aerospace, the goal is mission success. Because if we don't have mission success, it can mean lives. It can mean a lot of bad things happening. And so we want to make sure that everyone not only has the opportunity to be part of the team, but also, especially the team, my staff, I want to make sure that they have opportunities to grow and develop, to learn something new. Yes, they might have skills in this, but stretching them a little gives them an opportunity to grow and develop. And I can't do that if I'm trying to do it all. Sometimes you have to say, let me just step back and let them step forward. Because some people won't step forward until you take a step back.
That's a great point. Absolutely. Writing that one down. if anyone has any questions, feel free to come to the microphone. Just state your name, what school you're a part of, what school you're a part of, maybe where you interned, and your question. And I would ask that you would ask it to the specific person that you want to ask the question to, or if you want to address the entire panel, to address the entire panel. So if anybody has any questions at this time, feel free to come to the microphone.
Hello, good afternoon. My name is Daniela from Cardozo Education Campus. I wanted to talk to the whole panel about that blend you were talking about with your personal life and schoolwork or work in general.
Yeah.
Like, how does that work for you?
Yeah, I guess like, I can start
some tips that probably could work with us.
Yeah, I guess I can start since I kind of introduced the blend concept. But actually, I took that from another panel that I learned from, right? I was like, wow, like, that's the perfect way to say that. And I would say that some tips that are crucial for the blend, again, is identifying your top priorities, right? So again, we talked about the non-negotiables. There are certain things that I'm not willing to negotiate with anyone, regardless of my mom, my sister, whoever, right? But, you know, I put family first. Well, like, God, like I put God first, like my religion, and then family is really important to me. So, you know, if my sister has something at her school or graduation or something like that, like I'm going to be there regardless of what is going on. Family, then I would say like my career, like it's really, I would put that in the top three. Like I value, you know, my career and the things that I'm involved with. I also value like my personal time. So, you know, I'm not like a different person like when I leave work. Like I genuinely bring my true self to work. So I'm not like, I don't do like this whole like 180 like experience, you know what I mean? So everything that is important to me, like it's kind of understood at the company that I'm at. And my nonprofit is important to me, right? Like if something's going on with my nonprofit, not saying that like, you know, it's grown to the point where like I can't even be at everything, you know? So, you know, things that are important to me that I consider very important for the nonprofit, like, you know, doing panels like this and, you know, strategic plan meetings. And I don't even go to every meeting for the nonprofit. So I'm not on every committee or anything like that, even though I founded and led it. And that's kind of what we were talking about, the delegation piece. So that's kind of would be my response to that, is identifying what's important to you. Then being able to, again, say no, right? Like, when you reach the level of success as the panel here, you're asked to speak at things all the time. You're asked to essentially be everywhere all at once, which you can't really be. You have to pick and choose what's important to you and what aligns with your values. And so everyone here is like extremely busy, like, and so, you know, this was important to them, so they made the conscious decision to be here, right? Otherwise, if it wasn't, they wouldn't have not have been here. They could be doing a million different things. So or, you know, people contact you all the time to speak and like be here and do all these things. So that was kind of would be my advice in terms of the work life blend. Again, like the way that I think about it is, you're not like a different person when you show up at work, or you shouldn't be, right? If you are, then you should probably leave that company, right? But if you have to like switch on and switch off, like it's probably not a good fit for you. You should just bring yourself to work every day, because it's honestly exhausting. And I've been through it. It's honestly really exhausting to show up somewhere and you have to like act a certain way, or you have to be someone that you're not. And then when you leave, like honestly, that takes more mental energy for me in order to even do the job, you know? So that's like a lot. So I let the panel kind of elaborate on that.
So what I've learned, or am still learning, is that I am no good to others until I'm good to myself.
Yeah.
And so when I am burning the candles at three ends, that means I've added an extra little piece there, not just two ends, but three.
Yeah.
With being active, you know, with my family. My family is a priority. And so everything that they're doing, you know, I'm there for them. I'm very active in church. I'm very active in my community. At work, it's not just work. But we also have other activities, and I'm very active in those. And so what I've had to learn is I've got to take care of me in the process, because the better I take care of me, then the better I am with my family. I know when I'm not, because I have attitude, and then my kids get attitude, and it's not a good situation with us. So one of the things that I don't do as often as I'd like, is I take some time away. So I take some time away, you know, in my room. One of my vices, I don't have much. I don't shop. I don't do a whole lot of stuff, but I like the spa. So this weekend is kind of a full weekend for me. Mm-hmm. So it was recruiting, doing two workshops here. I have one right after this.
Wow.
And then, you know, all the other activities. And so, and being a 3-hour time difference, it's a little crazy. So when I found out the fitness center had a spa, when I got here, I went, and that was the first thing I did. Mm-hmm. I said, let me take care of me, so that I can be ready to do everything I need to do. Like you said, we're here because we're passionate about this. We're passionate about helping you. We're passionate about seeing you thrive and you grow and be successful. And that's why we're here. But again, that blending, you've gotta start with you, because when you aren't on point for yourself, other people notice. And how you present yourself, they respond in kind. And so just remember that blending has to start with you.
Are you guys good? Any other questions? Oh, you want to go?
Well, I would just say,
okay.
100%. It's thank you for the question. Great question. I found that if I don't take time for myself, then I'm really, my leadership levels decline rapidly. I do travel a lot. I'll leave from here and go to Belize and Honduras for the week. And I just came back from Colombia.
Can I sign up?
Yeah. I just came back from Colombia, you know, but it was, I mean, you know, we flew in some Blackhawks to some coca fields in southern Colombia, you know, and ran through the jungle, and it was great. So a little bit of sweat, it's hot and great, but that blend. Oh, you're Colombian.
Fantastic.
It's fantastic. I'll be back in Colombia in March.
But I'll tell you, if I don't take time, and for me, and it's different for everybody, mm-hmm. going to the spa, mm-hmm. I don't know if I would enjoy that as much.
Yeah.
It'd be weird for me a little
bit.
Same. And all that, but,
I do do the manicures and pedicures. I've done that a little bit. I'm like, all right, this is okay. Yeah.
You know, I'm not doing that. But,
yeah.
But you know,
I tried it. I was like, all right, it's not as bad as like I thought.
I don't know, Colonel Phillips, are you hitting the mani-pedi? Okay.
Oh, it's not the spa, it's the mani, but it's like, all right, this is relaxing.
But what
a little
I do
bit.
Is I like to run. I'll go out and I just jog, and it's me against time, it's me against the pavement, and I like to go do cross country running. And I just get out and I run, and it's just about me and myself, and I'm it's that get that runner's high and just that's the only high I'm gonna get, by the way.
Well, for me, it's to do absolutely nothing. Like, for me, Michelle Obama said that in a speech or something. Someone asked her what's her favorite thing to do. She's like, absolutely nothing. And for me, that is my favorite thing to do, is like absolutely nothing. Like, I'd rather just like Netflix and chill. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just would not like to do anything. I literally turn off my phone, like all the distractions and all the work, and sometimes I like rip up the work, like, all right, like I'm done, but for me it is the to do nothing. And I enjoy hanging out with my friends, and like, but I mean, I hang out with them all the time anyway, because circle is very, very limited. So does anyone else have any questions before
Hello. So my name is Agnes Signu from Cardoza High School. And the title of the session is Study Smart, Study Less. So my question is, how exactly do you study smart to study less?
I'll go back to what I said for myself, and this is one of the techniques in terms of study smart. And for me, studying smart, number one, non-negotiable on the time, okay? So that's choosing the fact of anything else is not going to take priority other than emergency. Okay, that's the first piece. The second piece is study like you're going to teach the class. Because if you study, then you become the subject matter expert to a degree. Prepare. If you prepare for those others, you're studying less. That means you're ahead of the game. And so whatever assignments or directives that your teachers give you, you're at least 50% done already, because you've read the material and you know exactly where to go to. Okay. That's the technique that I use. There's other techniques that people use, but for me, that saves so much time not having to go back. That saves so much time when life happens. That saves so much time. Okay, you're in DC, right? Okay, let's say you didn't, I'm just going to throw this example out. Let's say you didn't prepare for that next week. And let's just say, gosh forbid, we have a horrible snowstorm, which we had, and electricity is off. And you can't look at your notebook or your book because there's no lights in your neighborhood, in the whole district, let's just say. So now, not only you can't study what you need right then and there, but you can't be prepared for what's coming up the next day. But had you done it the week before or 2 days prior to, you're already ready. So that's what I mean by life happens. You never know what may be coming up. The only thing that you can guarantee is what you're doing right then and there. So by studying smart, getting ahead of the game, means you will study less in the time coming forward. Is that clear to you, sweetie? Okay.
Right. I'll add that I don't procrastinate anything because of what Michelle was talking about. You never know what's coming next. I never know if I'm going to get on a plane and go somewhere and not be back for a while, but I don't procrastinate. As soon as I get the task, I will bang out a draft. If I got to write a paper, I'll do a draft as soon as I possibly can. Now, I may sit on that draft for 3 or 4 days, and then 2 or 3 days before it's due, I'll go back and I'll relook that draft and polish it up. But I'll do the procrastination is the enemy of all study habits.
Yes,
it is the enemy of all study habits.
Speaking.
Because It's real easy to say, yeah, I'll do that tomorrow. Hey, I'll do that Saturday. I'll do that Sunday. It's not due till Tuesday. I can knock that out Monday. I'm telling you, that is the fastest way to a lower grade. Procrastination will kill you. But I tell you, what is the what's the remedy to procrastination? Maturity and study. You got to be adults about it. Hey, nobody likes to sit in traffic, but everybody does because it's the means to an end.
Yeah.
So get after it pretty quick, even if it's a, you know, a draft, even if it's not the best product, but you sit down and you just freaking get through it. And don't procrastinate, because that will kill you every time. And then learn how you absorb information.
Yeah.
What is the best method for you to receive information, and then tailor your study to that? You gotta learn what's best for you. Is it by hands-on? Is it by, you know, reading it and then walking around and thinking about it for a minute and then writing it down? For me, I'll tell you, a long time ago, it was all, I had to basically write it out.
Yeah.
I'm so dumb, I had to write it out. If I couldn't write it out, I wasn't gonna learn it. And then I got a little better at it. So procrastination kills you. Learn how you best absorb it and then do it that way. That's my advice.
You ready?
No, I was just gonna reiterate that very point. All of us learn differently. And in order to study smart, you have to know how you best learn. And use the techniques for your learning. I am a visual learner.
Yep.
And so reading a textbook doesn't do me any good. I had to make flashcards. I had to do something visually see it. If it was, you know, if it's a math problem, I've got to work it out. And so that's how I learn best, by actually doing. Everyone doesn't do that. I've got a child that can look at stuff and it just comes to him. I have another that, it's a chore trying to get him just to sit down and be still and learn. So everyone learns differently. You have to know what is your way of learning. Find techniques that match you. The way your friend studies is not necessarily going to be the best thing for you. Understand what's best for you and then use the techniques. That's how you really are going to study smart, because you're studying the way that you best learn. Right. And that will help you study less also.
Awesome. Well, let's give our panel a round of applause for being here today. And I'll just give a little recap of some highlights, notes that I was taking as well from today's session, and then we're going to end on a little lightning round, questions that, you know, don't really relate to this session, but might be interesting to learn and connect with them. But I took down rehearse twice as much as you perform, right? So that really is your studying habits, and really rehearsing, which is your studying for the performance on the exam or the test or the encounter, the interview, whatever opportunity that you are, what's in front of you. The power of three, right? That was powerful for me. Three things a day that you want to accomplish: learn by doing, take care of yourself. Self-care is really important. Mental health, physical health, and all these things are very important for you to succeed. Also touched on work-life blend. It's really important, great question, in terms of how to blend your life. Non-negotiable items, things that you're not willing to negotiate. Also touch things once, which is something that you didn't exactly say, but that's what you said, in terms of touching something one time and being done with it, right? Trying, when you are working on something, for not have to go back for iterations, touch something one time. Study like you're about to teach the class. GSD, get stuff done. Honestly, like, I like that a lot. I'm like, gonna use that. If you see that somewhere, like, she's gonna come and you're like, hey, wait a minute. Like, yeah. And learning is not an alone task. I like that a lot. That resonated with me. And procrastination is the enemy. And also trust, right? Trust is very important for any relationship that you're trying to build. And so we're gonna just end on a quick lightning round. Just ask two quick questions. And again, thank you guys for joining us this this afternoon. If you want to connect with any of the panelists, some of them are literally like right out the door sometime, but you know, we'll be here for a little bit to just connect. If you want to ask any questions, I'm sure they'll give you cards, information to connect afterwards. But I did want to know from our panelists, what, and this is just one answer, like you don't have to like go into details to why, but just what book or books are you reading right now?
Gray Eminence by Fox Connor.
Okay.
About mentorship.
Okay.
Becoming.
Okay.
And I can I just add this one piece of that. And that book, besides, and I'll share this piece. I was a political appointee. I worked for President Obama and Michelle Obama, so it's a blessing. But the one piece about this, talking about study smart, all my daughters, with exception of my five-year-old, but she reads what she can, we're all reading it together. Yeah. And we sit down after a couple chapters and we discuss it.
Wow.
To see how some of those remarks and lessons in life that they can see in themselves.
Awesome.
So I encourage you, not just if you're reading it, to actually sit with your friends and discuss the underlying meanings sometimes as well. So I wanted to share that.
Awesome.
I just wanted to share that because I think it's important.
It is, yeah.
So I bought Becoming and I brought it with me. I have not started reading it yet, so in my downtime tonight and tomorrow, I will. But my Bible. So I'm constantly trying to get encouragement.
Awesome. And the last question we'll ask today is, what is your favorite television series and or movie?
So I've got a couple. My all-time favorite is The Color Purple.
Okay.
And then the other one that I really like, I think it's called The Perfect Holiday, the one with Queen Latifah.
Yeah.
And so those two I really like because it talks about women who have gone through different types of challenges, and yet they had overcome.
Yeah.
And so those of you who've seen The Color Purple know what Whoopi Goldberg went through in her life, but at the end, she was able to rise above the abuse, rise above people demeaning her with her happy pants at the end. And then Queen Latifah in that movie, considering the fact that she thought she was dying, she actually started living.
Yeah.
And so that was an encouragement that you just have to sometimes not get caught up in stuff and just really live life and enjoy it.
Favorite TV series is Deadly Women. I'm laughing because I'm like Murder Mayhem. I mean, it really isn't. Favorite movie is actually Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Okay.
And it's a love story more than anything else.
Okay, awesome. And William?
My 12 Strong was the movie. I served about 10 years with the Special Forces Group, and 12 Strong is about ODA 595 that went into Afghanistan on horseback. As far as series, I don't get a lot of time with TV, so
I
get movies on the airplanes, but
agreed. Yeah, and so thank you again, and would like to encourage everyone to fill out their surveys, and I think they are leaving them here. I'm not really sure they're in process, but if you could fill out the surveys,
they collect them.
Okay, well, maybe they might be collecting outside, but if you would take a few minutes to fill that out, we'll really appreciate that. But again, let's give our panel a round of applause. And we'll be here and outside to ask us any questions that you want to ask us offline or anything, or to connect with us in a less informal setting. So thank you everyone for joining us, and we look forward to hopefully seeing you again next year.
Thank you for listening to Study Smart, Study Less, Improving Your Study Skills, a professional development seminar. Featuring Director of the Aerospace Corporation, Sonia Henry. President, CEO of The Bones Theory, Michelle Jones. Founder and Executive Director of the Reed's Autism and Sarcoidosis Fund, Matthew Reed's. And Command Sergeant Major, William Reinhardt of the U.S. Army. If you have enjoyed this presentation, be sure to attend the BEA STEM Global Competitiveness Conference. For more information on how you, your company, or organization can take part, visit www.bea.org. For college students, contact us at 410-244-7101.